Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it is April 2nd, 2016. I'm Dan Sherry. I am the iPragmatist, and I've got hopefully a pretty good show here for everybody tonight. And I can't find my notes, so I'm going to be winging it here a little bit. But I thought before I would even go into the show, thought I might just throw some ideas out there real quick. I've talked somewhat at length about chemtrails in the last show that I did, and other things. There's quite a bit going on in the world around us, and I've often been accused of being doom and gloom, and I don't actually at all see myself in that capacity. But it's a really interesting dynamic, really, to observe the world the way that I do and to recognize that if I am right about the things that I believe I'm right about, that there are so many people out in the world who don't agree with me or don't believe in what I believe in or don't even think about what I think about or can't engage in conversations with me about certain types of things that are going on, like chemtrails. That's a classic example. Chemtrails, to me, are more than real. The whole chemtrail program traces back to a tremendous number of other things. It's one of those concepts where you realize dots connect. And chemtrails is not just an entity in and of itself. It's part of a bigger picture, and it gets back to the matrix I've been talking about, the New World Order, the Illuminati, the major power structure that actually does exist around us. And anyway, I've watched some really awesome movies over the last week or so, there's a common theme at times, and I find myself very moved by it. And I think the main point that I would make out of making a statement like that is that if you even look at something like chemtrails, or you look at just suffering of all living things, there's just such a tremendous need for passion and desire to do the right thing in any given situation. And we all live in the human condition. We all struggle with different things, whether it's a matter of not having confidence in ourselves, or we lose a loved one, or we have to deal with inclement weather or whatever. We all live this place where we worry and we fear and we love and we enjoy and we laugh. Anyway, these movies I've been seeing really have stirred me to want to undertake some tremendously positive things in my life, which I am starting to embark on, actually. I'm making some changes. I won't get into the conversation right at this moment, but I'm starting at some major changes in my life, and it brings tears to my eyes, actually, because of how free I guess I feel, and to not feel as tied into this whole matrix system that I've been a slave to for the longest time. And we all are, to an extent. I don't know that any one of us could ever truly be free of the forces around us where we're being advertised to, any of the other struggles we go through. A lot of us don't have a whole lot of money, for example, so we're not able to necessarily eat foods that we want to eat because we can't necessarily afford them. You look at stuff like organic foods and that kind of thing. It's very expensive to be able to live well. And there are very fortunate people among us, of course, who make good money and can live really the way they want to, and they do. And you have to, I don't know that I ever really envied anybody who might be in a position like that, but I will look at them and admire them and recognize that rather than feel like I envy them and have any kind of contempt for them, I'd rather look at it and be inspired by people like that and to recognize that there's no reason that any one of us can't go out and take the bull by the horns. And if any one of us wants to live better, we want to make more money, it's really, as far as I'm concerned, it's a matter of human will. And we have to make decisions and go out and make ourselves better people. We need to network with other people. We need to change careers maybe, or move to different locations where we might be able to have more clients. I mean, if you live in a small town like I do, there are very few people here, and it's not like you can just go ahead and open up a business here, because there really aren't, you're not going to have very many people who are going to be buying your product or whatever. But if I were to move to a big city, I might have a better chance of survival, but then again, I'm going to have more competition, whatever. But the point being is that we have the will, all of us, to go out and make changes in life. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to change ourselves. But in the case of chemtrails and a lot of these awful things that are going on in the world, all the wars and the famines and the droughts and all this stuff, there's really an awful lot we all can do to contribute to helping humanity, helping other people in other places who aren't doing very well, who might be doing less well than we are. And it's, to me, that's a very moving concept, really, to recognize that, first off, life is so damn short. And second of all, no matter how bad we think we have it, there are always a lot of other people who have it a lot worse off than we could ever even actually imagine. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and get on with the show here, but if there's anything I would like to impart in this show, it's knowing that we can all pull back and look at the world objectively and not feel sorry for ourselves, and instead stand tall and be ready to kick the shit out of somebody who might be making life miserable for somebody else. suffering in this world needs to stop. At least it needs to be lessened. And so I'm going to go ahead and get on with the show here. But the overall, I guess, the point really I'm making is that the powers that be, there are powerful people out in the world, and they are very hateful people. They don't want us here. We'll talk more about this stuff. I will. And I'll explain more about this. You can call them Illuminati. You can call them by name, the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and these families. They have so much money. And they are just greedy. They don't want anybody else to have wealth. They're fascist, among other wordings that you could use for these people. They want the wealth themselves. They want us to be slaves. And this is no different than any historical events that have gone in the past. We hear about kings and queens who subjugate their populations that they control, and they take all the wealth, and they treat the people like shit, and they don't give them much to eat, and people throughout history have really suffered, and we're living this same kind of tyranny at this point. And again, it's a matter of just recognizing that we can all band together and help each other, and we can push back against these really awful people. And I'm starting to sense a certain amount of this collective consciousness and awareness. I think there are tremendous numbers of people at this point who are actually really starting to get it. And it's enlightening. It's heartening to see this stuff going on. And I want to be part of that. So anyway, getting back to what I had said a few minutes ago, I am not doom and gloom. I am not a doom and gloom guy. As a matter of fact, I think if anybody knew my friends or family, I think people wouldn't understand, would be able to come to understand if you were ever able to talk to anybody around me. I think people would recognize that I am not doom and gloom at all. I'm a realist, and I see things as they are, and I call them out as they are, and that's just where I exist in the grand scheme of things. It's always my intention to try to figure out a better way to make life better for all living things. I don't believe in harming living things, and I do everything I can to protect living things, and I feel good about that. It's a great place to be. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and preface my show as I usually do. You need to understand that if this is the first time you've heard me, that one, I am not politically correct. I say things that I want to say. I swear quite a bit. I don't feel the need to sugarcoat things when I talk about them. I will probably offend people with my profanity, but if that does offend you, by all means, turn my radio program off. Go listen to somebody else. I'm not politically aligned. I'm going to bash all political parties. I'm going to bash anybody in politics. And it may seem like I'm railing against people like Obama and Hillary and more of the left side, the liberals, the Democrats, more so than the right, the Republicans, conservatives. But that doesn't at all mean I'm Republican, because I'm not. I'm not politically aligned. I think both parties, I think everybody pretty much in politics right now is they're just not very good people. I'm going to leave it at that. I'll get more descriptive as I'm going along. And also recognize I'm not sexist. I'm not racist. If I make comments about any particular thing, for example, not liking Obama, don't you dare turn around and make any kind of comments, even to yourselves, that it's because of this color of his skin. I couldn't care less about a person's sex, their skin color, their preferences, or anything else. If you lie, you're an asshole. If you judge other people, you're an asshole. If you harm other people, you're an asshole. It's that simple. And that's why I call myself the iPragmatist. Pragmatism is just being practical. If it makes sense, you do it. If it doesn't, you don't do it. You don't harm people. You do the best you can to try to make the world a better place. And I find myself observing the world right now, especially this tyrannical government that we have going on. These people are not at all interested in having us live a better life. They don't believe in our having prosperity. And I'm going to give an awful lot of examples throughout my radio shows to prove that these people are in actuality going out of their way to make sure that we don't have a good life. And so I'll go ahead and leave it at that. Just recognize, I guess all I'm saying is I'm a pretty fair person, and I try to present that in my radio programs. So anyway, enough with that. I'm going to run through some recent headlines in the news, and understand I don't tend to look at news from the mainstream media. Mainstream media is bought off. It's owned by the very people who are at the top of the structure, so to speak. And they control pretty much what we think, do, and say based on advertisements, radio, television, and a lot of other mediums that we're not even conscious of necessarily. But you can't go to a website or watch a television program, news, say MSNBC, Fox, CNN, any of those, and expect to have any kind of reality in the news. It's just not going to happen. Same thing with the Weather Channel and pretty much most of those that are popular, very much controlled by people who don't want us to know the truth about what's going on in the world, which is a big part of what my program's about, is railing against that stuff and exposing it. And I speak my mind, and you're going to understand that if you listen to my radio programs. I'm pretty tough as far as analyzing this stuff and saying what I want and railing against the very people who are doing this stuff to us, making us think, do, and say things that we wouldn't necessarily think, do, or say. Anyway, I'm looking at a website called truthrevolt.com, truthrevolt.com. And here is an incredibly insane article. This is one of the more bizarre that I've seen in some time, although there are an awful lot out there. But here's an article title. Get this. This Week in Progressive Lunacy. New panties let women bleed all over GOP faces printed on the panties' crotch. You heard that right. This Week in Progressive Lunacy, new panties let women bleed all over GOP faces printed on the panties' crotch. Okay, and what this article is about is quite literally a company is making women's panties, and in the very crotch of the panties, they're sewing in a picture of Republicans like Ted Cruz and others. And women are buying these so that when they have their periods, they bleed all over these people's faces. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, it's insane. Just absolutely insane what's going on in this world around us. You can't make this stuff up. You just can't make this stuff up. Anyway, see what else we got here. U.S. supplies ISIS through Turkey. Now, an interesting thing about ISIS is that we do recognize they are a real group, that they are as brutal as we hear they are. They cut people's heads off. They're just brutally violent. They are just very hateful people. But what doesn't get filtered through, especially mainstream news, is the fact that ISIS has been created in part by the U.S., the Israelis, the Saudis, and others. This group didn't just haphazardly come along and work their way up and get bigger and stronger and on and on. They are funded by our own government. Obama helped create these people. Obama and NATO and the Israelis and the Saudis and the Turks are funding them. We give them supplies, we give them weapons, we give them food, we give them money, we give them vehicles, we give them all kinds of weaponry. And this is known, this is a fact. And yet you listen to mainstream media, Fox or CNN, whoever, and they'll tell you that the U.S. attacked, say, 23 ISIS locations over the weekend. We hear this kind of horseshit. That's all it is. It's horseshit. We never once have ever attacked ISIS. And why would we? And I say we, I shouldn't even say it that way. Why would Obama attack a group of radicals who he helped create in the first place and wants to help take over the world? That's exactly what's going on right now. Don't think for a second that all the people who are being funneled through Europe, supposedly as these innocent refugees, don't think for a second that they're innocent refugees. Some of them are, but lots of them are radical Muslims who are intentionally being allowed to be brought into these countries to cause all kinds of chaos and violence and destabilize these countries. And you can wonder why those nations' leaders would allow that to happen, but that's a whole story in and of itself that we'll talk about at some point. There are people who have infiltrated governments, including the U.S. There are people who are Muslims. They want them here. They want to get rid of this white power structure that exists, for good or for bad. I'm not going to make any kind of a comment on that. But there's a reason why Obama has left our border with Mexico open, wide open, and doesn't deport even violent immigrants who are coming into this country. We're not sending anybody back to Mexico. Europeans aren't sending any of those people back to the Middle East. And I can only imagine being in Europe right now, for example. Sweden, it's said that they are on the precipice of total collapse because of how many Muslims are there. And the Muslims are, they're raping the women, and the governments there don't protect the women. You have to look at that and wonder what the hell's going on. And just even in that particular case, how could a government in Europe not prosecute Muslims who are raping these women, innocent women? And the governments, if you read the stories, you find the storylines. You have to look at alternative news for sure, but you'll find reports about women who are being raped, who then go to the police and report it, and the police come back and say, well, you shouldn't be wearing short skirts. I mean, that's how insane this is. And again, you can't make this stuff up. You just can't make this stuff up. So here we are living in this crazy world, which is a big part of why I'm doing this program, is to expose this stuff and to put my two cents out there and talk about my thoughts on this stuff and what I would do to stop it. We live in a very sad world right now because we've been indoctrinated to believe that political correctness is the way to go, that we're supposed to, and this is in these articles that you can find, that there are people, the politicians, rather than prosecuting these assholes who are raping women and destroying people's crops in their yards and on, rather than looking at it and saying we need to do something about these people, they instead are telling us that we need to be more sensitive toward these people, and that in and of itself will get these people to stop being as violent as they are. And there couldn't be anything in my mind further from the truth. These people in government right now are not, there's something wrong with them. And there's either something wrong with them, as in they are being controlled in some way, mind controlled or whatever, or they are hateful of all of us and have been put in the positions where they are to help make sure that this whole Western culture gets taken down. That, in my mind, is what's going on. We know for a fact, for example, that through Operation Paperclip and others, the Germans, many of the German scientists and pretty radical people, were actually allowed to leave Germany rather than face court trial in The Hague, like everybody else had to go through. They were allowed to leave, and they were funneled into South America. And you can look that up. It's real. I'm not making this stuff up. So an awful lot of the radical Germans were able to funnel through Latin America, and they actually have been able to funnel up through the United States and get into our government and FDA, all these organizations. And they are here, and they are now, and they are the ones who are making these just disgusting decisions where they're restricting our rights and regulating us to the point where this country is on the verge of collapse. You can believe that or not. Time will tell when it's going to happen. But there are an awful lot of people, just in other words, who have been able to infiltrate different governments around the world, and we are in an awful lot of trouble because they are, again, doing things like they're doing in Europe as far as allowing these immigrants to rape women and kill people. And I mean, there are even people in this country, the U.S., who are violent, and they're killing people, and they're not being deported. They're not being imprisoned. And anyway, there's an awful lot of proof of that stuff out there. There are a lot of articles out there that you can read about. Anyway, this article in particular, U.S. supplies ISIS through Turkey. Turkey is really being shown to be a royal pain in the ass for the world right now. They're the ones who are allowing the immigrants from the Middle East to funnel up into Europe. They're the cause of it. And they are supporting ISIS. And that's why they hate the Russians as much as they do, is because the Russians are actually attacking ISIS. And Turkey hates that because they're helping to fund ISIS. So anyway, that's just a horrifying dynamic that's going on right now. Okay, another storyline. This is from RINF.com. Stands for Real Independent News and Film. Article says the Department of Defense is the third largest polluter of U.S. waterways. How wonderful. They get hundreds of billions of dollars a year, and they pollute us. And they bomb other people. They maim little children in other countries. Horrific people, horrific storyline. Absolutely horrifying. Let's see what else we got here. Monsanto's in the news. They're always in the news. Monsanto makes the product Roundup. Roundup is believed to be causing tremendous numbers of problems with bee populations. Their Roundup product has what's called glyphosate in it. It's a chemical that has been proven to be highly carcinogenic. Just very, very tiny amounts of glyphosate causes breast cancer in women. And research project after project after project proves how absolutely horrifyingly bad glyphosate is for all living things. And farmers use it to spray their fields to get rid of weeds and that kind of thing. And you just think of the sheer numbers of farmers who use this stuff. You think about the size of farms and the sheer amount of the Roundup product that's used across the planet, and all this stuff just runs off into our water supplies and it gets into the water. And municipalities, the water companies, don't necessarily have a way to filter out glyphosate. So we end up with it in our drinking water. and we wonder why we have problems with our kids as far as autism and all kinds of other problems. So anyway, the article states Monsanto sues California agency over plans to list Roundup as cancer-causing chemical. You can't make this bullshit up. Roundup has glyphosate in it. Glyphosate causes cancer in people, especially in women. It is being used across the planet in massive quantities. It's getting in all water supplies. And these bastards have the audacity to sue a California agency over their plans to list Roundup as a cancer-causing chemical. You can't speak truth anymore. That's what's going on with this power structure. Monsanto is a massive company. People in Congress invest heavily into Monsanto. So they're very well protected, Monsanto is. So they can go around, they can bully people. They've sued farmers and taken their farms because they won lawsuits against these farmers. I mean, these people are evil. You can't even begin to try to understand how evil these bastards are. They should just be a company that sells a product. And if the product harms people, they should be fucking drilled into the ground. They should be removed. They should be sued, prevented from being able to sell anything that harms living things. But instead, they have the support of the U.S. government, and they go around and bully people around the world, farmers, whatever, sue people and steal their land and on and on. Absolutely horrifying. Do maybe another one or two here. Here's a good one. U.S. warning about terrorism is to justify funding the military-industrial complex, according to an analyst. There couldn't be any more truth in that. All we keep hearing about is terrorism. There isn't anywhere near as much terrorism across the world as we're being told there is. The terrorism is from our own governmental agencies like the CIA and the FBI and others. The Israelis, the Saudis, their secret services. These people are the ones who are causing a majority of the terrorist attacks that we come across. They are the ones who bomb places and then turn around and make it look like somebody else did it. Take 9/11. 9/11 did not happen the way that we're told it did. We're told that some terrorists came over from other countries. They took a few weeks of flight school and they were able to fly planes better than seasoned pilots who have 30, 40 years experience. And they flew them in such precision they could hit the buildings, the World Trade Towers and the Pentagon and all this stuff. That's not how it happened. We were attacked by our own CIA, the Saudis, the Israelis, and others. That whole thing was done to make it look like terrorists from other countries did it so that we would back George Bush, that fucking piece of shit, to go into Afghanistan and Iraq and other countries. They did that so that we would all rah, rah, rah support Bush. Yeah, go ahead, Bush. We're behind you, buddy. Go into Afghanistan, completely destroy their life, destroy their infrastructure. Protect us from terrorism. Put together Department of Homeland Security and the NSA and all these other fucked up bullshit security organizations. And you got this fucking piece of shit, Clapper. Forget his first name. James Clapper. What a fucking piece of shit. What a goddamn fucking goddamn pig piece of shit. This fucking guy has the audacity to go in front of the world and act like he's some significant fucking piece of fucking apparatus that's protecting us from the world, from the terrorists. He's the fucking terrorist. They all are. And we sit here and we watch our television programs. We got people like Bill O'Reilly telling us that fucking Putin went into Ukraine. That's why we went into Ukraine, was to stop Putin from expanding Russia. What a crock of shit. Obama went into fucking Ukraine. He stole $5 billion from the U.S. taxpayers. When the crazy fucking mercenary motherfucking people who went in and went and slaughtered Russian supporting people in Ukraine. Russia didn't go into Ukraine. Obama did. And that's how that whole goddamn situation started. So here we are in Ukraine. We're still getting this bullshit story about how Putin had moved into Ukraine. That's why we went in there. If you remember, for example, flight MH17, the Malaysian flight that went down over Russia, Ukraine area. That plane went down. Obama, NATO, all the Western governments came out and said that Russia had shot that plane down. And the Europeans went in and gathered all the plane parts and all the body parts and all that stuff. They were supposed to have done autopsies on all the people to find out how the plane went down. They were supposed to put the plane parts back together and analyze how the plane went down, what shot it down, what caused it to explode, whatever happened. Have you noticed we never got any reports about this stuff? And you know why? Because it was US and NATO who shot that plane down. We're the ones who fucking took that plane down. So they can't analyze any of the stuff because all the proof would point to our having done that to those poor people on that plane. And instead, US and NATO and others keep saying, oh, the Russians shot the plane down. But they don't come up with any proof. They never did, and they never will. And that's what I'm getting at as far as this guy Clapper. I mean, these people have so much money, so much power, they're able to do pretty much anything they want to. And we sit here in our homes and we watch TV all day long, and we're told time after time, it's the terrorists who did it. It's the terrorists who did it. We're mind controlled. We're being told it's the terrorists who did it. It's the terrorists who did it. And unfortunately, there are an awful lot of people out in the world who aren't able to think for themselves. I was one of them once. I am no longer. I understand what's going on. And I'm so sickened by it. And that's why, again, I'm doing this radio program. I do whatever I can to try to enlighten people, to pull back, recognize what's going on. That's what we need. We need everybody to come to recognize this and shut these motherfucking pieces of shit down. And it's not going to happen until we have an awful lot of people on our side. And we're nowhere near that at this point. Anyway, that's enough with the news. One of the things I wanted to talk about tonight is U.S. debt. We're told we don't know what the U.S. debt is. We have no idea. We have an idea, I guess, to an extent. At least we can look at what we're told the debt is. We're told it's roughly $20 trillion. That's without what's called unfunded liabilities. Unfunded liabilities, that includes stuff like pensions. Those are things that have been promised to especially government workers, retirement accounts and that kind of thing. That's money that hasn't been paid yet because people are still working, but it's money that's been promised to those who are working so that when they retire, they will get all these pensions and retirement accounts and this type of stuff. So unfunded liabilities, the total sum of that type of stuff is in the hundreds of trillions of dollars. We can't pay this stuff off. We can't pay for unfunded liabilities. And this is stuff that the government, especially the liberals, and yes, I'm going to rail on the liberals on that one. The liberals are the ones through the years who have promised people the world, the sky, all this stuff, all these retirement accounts. And why? Because they wanted the votes. So anyway, let's take unfunded liabilities out of this whole thing. We're told that the U.S. debt is roughly $20 trillion. Now, I want to put that into a perspective. I want to give a perspective to that sum of money, that amount of money. When Bush left office, he left us with roughly $10 trillion in debt. That's massive. I mean, you can't even conceive of $10 trillion. You want to know what $10 trillion looks like? Write the number 10 and then write in 12 zeros after it. That's $10 trillion fucking dollars. That's how much money these motherfuckers have overspent this country. That's not money they spend that they receive tax money for. That's the amount above what they receive from taxes from us. That's the amount above that they spent us into oblivion. It's no different than you or me. If I make, say, $100,000 a year, if I spend $150,000 in a year, I'm going to be $50,000 in debt. I will have spent $100,000 that I make at my job, let's say. But if I spent $150,000, I spent $50,000 that I didn't have. So now I'm $50,000 in debt. So if you look at somebody like Obama, this guy has overspent us over the course of, say, 7 years, $10 trillion. Bush left with $10 trillion of debt. He left with us. We're now at $20 trillion. So that means Obama, his administration, has overspent us $10 trillion over the last 7 years. That's what, say, roughly, what, $1.5 trillion of debt every year? They're overspending us $1.5 trillion every fucking year, roughly. So if you think about even more, here's more perspective about this. The government takes in roughly $4 trillion, between $3 and $4 trillion a year. They steal from us in income taxes. April 15th, you go and you send in your tax return. All that money that we give to the government, let's say it's $3 trillion. It's actually a lot more than that, but we give the government every year $3 trillion, let's say. It's actually probably closer to four, but I'm going to make an example here. I'll keep it conservative. So we give the government $3 trillion a year. So over the course of 7 years Obama's been in office, his administration has spent all that $3 trillion every single year for 7 years. So right there, they've spent $21 trillion fucking dollars over 7 years, $21 trillion fucking dollars they've spent. And then we're told that they spent $10 trillion on top of that, that put us into debt. They've spent us $31 trillion, and it's actually a lot more than that. But this bastard, his administration, those motherfuckers have spent us at least $31 trillion they've spent of our money. Most of it, much of it that we don't actually have. That's why it's called debt. $31 trillion fucking dollars in 7 years. $31 trillion fucking dollars. I can't conceive of where that money went. Yeah, we got wars going on. We got all this horse shit, welfare and all this horse shit. Fine. $31 trillion? Are you fucking kidding me? $31 trillion fucking dollars. And it's actually probably a lot more than that. It's probably closer to $40 trillion. You couldn't spend that money. If somebody gave you that money in your lifetime, you couldn't spend that fucking money. You couldn't spend even close to that amount of money. And these motherfuckers just spent $31 trillion in Obama's presidency alone. This guy is not a good guy, people. Okay, you could look at it and say, well, he's helped people, whatever. You know, I just saw a report the other day. They were talking about how destitute blacks are in inner cities, especially Chicago. Blacks are so much worse off than they were before Obama came into office. And yet this fucking guy spent $31 trillion fucking dollars and he hasn't helped black people in this country. Are you fucking kidding? $31 trillion should have made everybody have a house and a car and live lavishly. We should all be eating steak and filet and all kinds of great vegetables and everything else. We should be vacationing. We should be the ones playing fucking golf instead of that bastard. $31 trillion, you guys. Write it down. 31 and then put 12 zeros after it. That's how much money these motherfuckers have spent in 7 years. That's enough. It should be enough to piss everybody off. It pisses me the fuck off. Makes me absolutely sick to my stomach. And how many people still support this fucking piece of shit? How many people still walk around saying, oh, I love Obama? They got stores called Obama fucking Mart and this kind of shit down south. I've seen the pictures. There are people who love this guy. And he's doing nothing but destroying this nation, the prosperity we have. He's taking away our rights. He's regulating business to the point there are no more jobs. We're in a fucking world of hurt, you guys. And some of you, I'm sure most of you, whatever, you probably know about this stuff, and I'm just preaching to the choir. But if you don't know about this stuff, this ought to disturb you to the point where you should start reading about it. There's something very seriously wrong with what's going on right now. We're in so much trouble. We are not going to have a nation much longer. We pretty much don't even have our own nation right now. We just don't know it yet. I'm sickened beyond belief. Another concept I wanted to talk about is the idea of the petrodollar. And again, this is just something that I'm going to throw out as far as informational stuff. Back in the days, we're going back quite a ways. We're probably talking the 40s, 50s, 60s, somewhere in there. Our government came up with the idea that we would go to oil-producing nations, and we would make agreements with them. And a lot of this had to do with Henry Kissinger and other people. Nixon was involved with this stuff. There's quite a bit of history behind this. Look it up. Petrodollar, P-E-T-R-O, petrodollar. These guys came up with a scheme, a way to make the government money. And what they came up with was the idea that they would go to oil-producing nations. They went to the Saudis, for example, and they made agreements with them that would make the U.S. money and it would help the Saudis at the same time. And here's exactly what happened. They went to the Saudis and they sat down with them and they said, here's a deal that we want to make with you guys. If you agree to two conditions, we will protect you militarily from your enemies. Now, understand, back in the day, the Saudis didn't have any weaponry. They didn't have any pilots. They didn't have any planes, no weapons, no nothing. They were just an oil-producing nation sitting in the middle of the freaking desert in the middle of nowhere. They were vulnerable to attack from all kinds of bad people, like there really were back then. And so the Saudis said, okay, well, we like the idea of having you protect us militarily. You've got a big military, and we'll let you put bases on our land and whatever. But what are you asking for in return? So the agreement was that the Saudis had to agree that they would take nothing, no other currency except the U.S. dollar for payment for their oil. So if a nation went to them, the Chinese, whoever, went to buy oil from the Saudi Arabians, China would first have to go to a bank. They would have to take their own currency, the yuan. They would have to have it exchanged into U.S. dollars, and then they would take the U.S. dollars and go to the Saudis, and the Saudis would say, oh, great, you've got U.S. dollars. Yes, we take U.S. dollars. Give us your money. Here's your oil. The other part of the agreement was that the Saudi Arabians would have to agree that they would take a certain percentage of the profits that they made from the sale of oil, and they would then invest it into U.S. treasuries, which essentially is just U.S. stocks, if you want to look at it that way. So that helped the U.S. in two very important ways. One, the world, because the world needed to buy oil, the world would always have to take, it didn't matter what country it was, India, Pakistan, it didn't matter. The world would have to take their own currency, their own dollars, whatever their type of dollars was. They would have to go to a bank, they would have to exchange it for U.S. dollars, and then go and pay for the oil. So there would always be a demand for U.S. dollars. That's the reason that there's been such a desire for U.S. dollars, and that has propped up the value of the U.S. dollar. We don't have anything backing up our dollar anymore. We used to be on a gold standard. We used to have gold in Fort Knox. And the more gold you had in your country, the more your currency was worth. It is said that we have no more gold. It's all been stolen. So we are using U.S. dollars, and now it's called a fiat currency because we don't have anything behind it to give it value. So these bastards, Kissinger and these sons of bitches, went out to all these oil-producing countries and got them to agree to only take U.S. dollars as payment for oil. So there was a desire all the time for U.S. dollar. We didn't need to have gold behind the U.S. dollar to give it value. Just the fact that the U.S. or the, I'm sorry, the world demanded U.S. dollars because they had to have U.S. dollars to buy oil. The sheer fact, if there's a demand for something, it has value. So the sheer fact that the world, as the world economy has been growing for a long time, the world needed U.S. dollars. So that gave an artificial value to the U.S. dollar. And so our dollar has been artificially given value in the world more than it actually should have been given. And that's why we're having such collapses going on around us now, is because people are finding out that the dollar doesn't have anything to back it up. And now there are countries out in the world like Russia and China and India and Brazil and others who aren't demanding U.S. dollars anymore. They're not using U.S. dollars. So all of a sudden, demand for the U.S. dollar is decreasing. And if there's a decrease in demand for something, that something doesn't have as much value anymore, does it? So we're starting to see the devaluation of the U.S. dollar across the world. And it's going to continue. And we are going to see the dollar collapse. We are absolutely going to see the dollar collapse in value. If our dollar isn't worth anything more, you got $10 million in the bank, your $10 million is going to be worth 5 cents when the dollar collapses. Any of you out there, you think you've got a lot of money, retirement accounts and all that stuff? U.S. dollar collapses. If it does, I believe it's going to. There are a lot of other people believe it as well. If the dollar collapses, you're not going to have anything. So all you people out there who have retirement accounts and you've worked your asses off for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years getting ready to retire, if the dollar collapses, you're going to be left with nothing. You will have spent your whole life investing into something that is a complete scam. The reason that Saddam Hussein was killed was because he decided at a point that his country, Iraq, they have quite a bit of oil. He decided he wasn't going to take U.S. dollars for payment anymore. So Kissinger and all these people and Bush went along and said, we got to kill this guy because we need to put a government in Iraq that's going to accept U.S. dollars for oil. That's exactly what they did. They killed Saddam Hussein because he wouldn't take U.S. dollars for oil. Let's move on to Libya. Why did they kill Gaddafi? Because he came out and said to the world that he wasn't going to accept U.S. dollars for his oil anymore. So they killed him. That's exactly what's going on. Syria. There are all kinds of countries in Syria right now. Assad, who is the president of Syria, has said that he doesn't want to accept U.S. dollars for oil anymore. Iran is next. They're also saying that they're not going to take U.S. dollars for oil anymore. Russia has come out and said that they're not going to take U.S. dollars for oil anymore. That's why they're building such a big friendship, whatever, partnership with China, because they're saying that they want to get rid of the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. So all of a sudden, here we are, and we're having all the world say, "We don't want your fucking U.S. dollars, you goddamn pigs." And so all the people in power, Brzezinski and Kissinger and all these bastards we hear about from the Council of Foreign Relations and all these powerful organizations we have in this country, they're freaking out because we're going to collapse, and they know it, and the dollar is going to collapse, and that means that they are going to collapse, and they're scared shitless. So what do? Rather than play with the world fairly and say, "Hey, look, we're sorry for what we've done. Let's keep going. Let's do what we can to keep everything stable." Instead, what do? They fly planes into other countries and start bombing people. They kill leaders indiscriminately, which is against international law, by the way. These motherfuckers need to be stopped. So anyway, that's pretty much my show. We've got a very scary world we live in right now, you guys. We're in a lot of trouble. We need to pass along information like this to people who don't know what's going on. We need people to understand that Hillary Clinton is one of these same people. If she gets elected, she's going to continue doing the same thing to the world that these other motherfuckers have done. She will bomb more people. She will kill more kids. She will maim more kids. She will destroy more infrastructure in other countries. These people are fucking nuts. They're fucking nuts. And it's all about money. Fucking money. There aren't as many terrorists as we're being told there are in this world right now. We're being led to believe that the whole world is just aiming all their guns at us, that all these shootings and bombings and all this stuff, that this is all being done by crazy people. It isn't at all. It's being done by our own CIA and other people. They're doing this to make us all scared, to make us think that we need them to protect us. That's exactly what's going on with all this stuff. What a crock of shit. There's no reason to fear anything, folks. We need to move on, get our shit together, people out, protest. We need to get rid of them. My name's Dan Cherry. It's April 2nd. Hope you enjoyed my show. I've got 10 seconds left. You guys have a great night. I'll be back on Wednesday. Good night.